Today we're going to be kicking around a question that's going to make many of you uncomfortable. The question is, have you deposited enough to withstand a second shutdown due to COVID-19? Now, when I say deposited, I'm not talking about financial deposits. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar, How to Jumpstart Your Sales During Challenging Times. I'll be talking about it at the end of the podcast, but if you'd like to learn more now, you can certainly visit yoursalesplaybook.com/hellyes, as in hell yes, I want to sell more. yoursalesplaybook.com/hellyes. Now also, quick announcement, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to my blog, because as much as I love hanging out with you over here on the podcast, it's only one part of the relationship. There's other stuff that I offer, and in written form, I'm able to offer you guys free PDFs and checklists and other resources as well. So if you haven't done so already, make sure that you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. So I want you to imagine something, and this will cue up today's podcast. Hopefully, it's going to do it perfectly, but who knows? And I'm not going to edit it out if it just goes to shit. So let's give it a shot here. I want you to imagine having a bank account where you started it with just the minimum amount that the bank would allow you to put in there to get this thing up and running. And then, you ready for this? Being the financial genius that you are, you neglected the hell out of that account. You basically never made a deposit again. So you started it with the bare minimum and you've made no deposits. So here's my stupid question of the day. I feel like there should be some, like a theme song for it. And an announcer coming in, Castain's stupid question of the day. If you have an account that you started with the bare minimum amount of cash and you've made no deposits, if the proverbial rainy day came along, how long could you really live off of that account? Right? I mean, probably no time at all. It would be gone. So now, as silly as this may seem, this is what we're going to be talking about today, except we're not going to be talking about bank accounts. We're going to be talking about deposits that you need to be making in other types of accounts that impact your business, impact your sales. So this would be an excellent episode. If you're not driving and you're able to take notes, you're going to want to take notes here. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need to do two things. Number one, you're going to have to deal with this episode because this is an unpleasant topic that we're about to talk about. And here's the topic. If there is a second shutdown because of COVID-19, how would you be able to get by from these other deposits that you should be making that are not financial? And again, I'm going to share with you what these deposits should look like and where you should be making them with your selling efforts. So that's the first thing. The second thing, you're going to need to ask your ego to leave the room. Your ego is going to want to tell you, well, yeah, I know that, or yeah, you don't have to worry about that. You do need to worry about it. You know, my job today is not to walk away with a bunch of new best friends. My job today is to make sure that you're prepared and you're thinking about some shit that I can tell you right now, none of us want to think about right now. So that's where we're going with it. And you know what? It doesn't have to be all dark and gloomy and depressing. We're going to have some fun with this But it's serious shit. You really do have to pay attention to it. So the very first deposit, and in no particular order, that you should be thinking about is, are you making deposits over on LinkedIn as well as your traditional network? I'm going to tell you something absolutely sad that I witnessed. And here I am, I said, doesn't have to be dark and gloomy. And here I am. I'm getting sad. But I mean, really, it's sad and even pathetic. I witnessed so many people that I have been connected with for years. And I don't want this to sound like an I told you so moment or that I'm kicking people when they're down. I truly am sad for them. I can tell you that I have a ton of people in my network that were brilliant at ignoring people. You'd see, you know, the types on LinkedIn that'll post something, they get comments, and the person who, you know, the author of whatever it was posted just ignores their comments, doesn't even say thank you. People like that, people that I've personally reached out to over the years, and I don't mean to pitch them, but I'm very big on sending along resources, which you're going to talk about in a minute, never once responding to me, or never once responding to me wishing them a happy birthday or happy holidays, or, you know, just some effort to actually build a relationship. Then all of a sudden, here's where it gets sad. Many of these people found themselves out of work thanks to the pandemic. They're out of work. And then all of a sudden, they give a shit about their network. I'm here to tell you that you can't wait until you need your network to make the deposits. You can't wait until that moment. Also, and somebody needs to say this to you, because what I'm about to say is nasty. It might be inappropriate, but I think somebody has to say it. It is incredibly shallow for you to ignore your network, especially when people are reaching out to you. Ignore them and not respond to them. And then all of a sudden, you are in need. And now you give a shit about them. It's shallow. People are going to see through it. And I'm also going to tell you that you are limiting your ability to leverage your network if you operate that way. So what you need to be doing, just like that bank account that we should have had, right, in the first example, is you have to be making deposits. So what do I mean by this? And how the hell can you make deposits in both your LinkedIn and your traditional network? Well, for starters, create a keep in touch cadence. And when I say keep in touch, I'm not saying that you need to be pitching them every single time, but I'm also not going to give you the standard advice, which I disagree with wholeheartedly, by the way, that you should never sell over on LinkedIn. I mean, we're not charities, ladies and gentlemen. We're businesses. We're salespeople. This is what we do. So yes, I think you should sell. I encourage you to sell, but just don't be a dick about it. And don't do it all the time. So keep in touch. Be helpful. Ask how you can help people. I don't mean just people who are going through a rough time. But also play matchmaker. There are people in your network who should know each other. Great example. I was speaking with a client the other day, and they had a particular need. And again, I don't want to go into a bunch of detail. They had a particular need. Right away, I thought of someone in my network. Not so I can score points and that they would owe me one, but this is what you do when you network. I don't mind making those deposits. Plus, I guess this is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself here, but I'm truly not doing it for this. I mean, this is a wonderful benefit of what I'm talking about. But many times, if you want a referral, you should give a referral. But again, don't do it with a scorecard. All right, Julie, I gave you a referral. You owe me now. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying that if you want to increase the amount of referrals and people that are thinking of you, which is kind of a cool thing when you have a network that actually thinks about you and thinks like, okay, how can I help Castain, or how can I help this person or that person, give to them. Now, there's other things that you should be doing too. You should also do this is kind of a cool thing that someone on social media was talking about. And he was talking about how he does this thing like a Keep in Touch Tuesday initiative. And you could call it anything you want, and it doesn't have to be on Tuesdays or whatever. But I like things that are easy to remember, because I, just like you guys, I have so many things going on that if we have something that's fun and memorable, well, we have a higher probability of making it a habit. So set a recurring alarm or a recurring invite, if you will, on your phone. And what you're going to do on Tuesdays is have that be, like, it doesn't have to be the whole day. It could be a portion of the day. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. It could be the morning or the afternoon or the last 2 hours of the day or your lunch break on that day, if you will. And what you're going to do is look at your network and simply say to yourself, well, you know, who do I really need to, like, what relationships should I be working on a little bit more? Like, perhaps I don't know this Castain fellow well enough. Or maybe I should concentrate a little bit more on Mary right now. And I notice that maybe I'm neglecting some of the things in my cadence there or whatever. So those are some things that you can do. Also, keeping in touch on LinkedIn has gotten a lot more fun. And if you haven't checked it out, you really owe it to yourself to go over into the LinkedIn messaging. And you'll notice that there's a little plus sign when it comes to writing a message to people. And the plus sign now gives you some really cool options. One of the options is, of course, you could write a standard message, right? But you're not a standard type of dude or dudette. You want to stand out. That's why you're listening to the damn podcast here, right? I know what you're doing. I got you covered. So what you can do is you can also send a voice message over on LinkedIn. You could also shoot a video right from your smartphone and embed it without any software or any... You don't need a PhD in AV to be able to do this. It's just real simple, no-brainer type of stuff. So you could embed a video and send that along. You could even have some fun, if you know the person especially. I mean, otherwise, having some fun and using humor can backfire sometimes if people don't know you and you share maybe a running joke or whatever. But you could even send along a GIF file. You can send along PDFs through that. So check out the messaging app over there. But the other thing, which is my standard advice that I've been giving for 10 years on this podcast, by the way, and certainly over on the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog, is every week, one of the best deposits that you could be making over on LinkedIn. And this is going to go against the popular advice that's out there. So I want you to think about if you're over on LinkedIn, what the big advice is right now. You have all these quote-unquote thought leaders talking about putting out content and that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's awesome to build a following that way and all that. But if you're doing that and you're also not working on the one-on-one type of relationships, and you have these quote-unquote connections over on LinkedIn that you've done nothing with, what's the point in all that? What, to be the new cool kid on the block? To go back to middle school and be the most popular person that's out there on LinkedIn? Wow, you can't really pay your bills on that. They're going to tell you you can, by the way, but you can't pay your bills on that unless you get to the point where they're at, or usually way beyond, and you have a shit ton of followers. Other than that, you're going to need to actually roll up your sleeves and, I don't know, dirty your uniform a little bit by putting in the work. So one of the things you should be doing every week, my standard advice has always been, every single week, start alphabetically, in the beginning especially, and continue alphabetically as you go along, and look at the connections that you have and make decisions about 3 to 5 people every single week that you want to make those deposits, where you want to get to know them better. You reach out to them, and I always call it, the name of the email is called the embarrassed email, because in the email that you're going to send to them, you're going to say something along the lines of, you know, hey, we've been connected now for a while, and I'm embarrassed that I have never reached out to you to get to know you better. What do you say we change that? And then give them 2 scheduling options like you would on a cold call. How's your schedule for this day at this time? Or would this day at, you know, this time be better for you? And, but in the past, I've always said that you should be doing 3 to 5 of those. I'm going to say something right now that's going to be a little bit more radical. I actually think you should be doing about 10 of these a week right now. If you could do more of them. Not at the you know, expense of screwing over your prospecting and this is all you're going to be doing. No, I mean, you really should be picking up the pace right now with your deposits that you're making. And I would up the ante on this. And, you know, just to continue using all kinds of nice little cliches this week, I would really be doubling down on this effort. And I would move this closer to 10. By the way, I did this right before I started my business back in 2011. And I had always gone 3 to 5. And sometimes a few more. Hardly ever less, because I just believed in this for building a solid network. When I knew I was a few months out from starting my business, I just started going like 10 to 15 every week to build a solid network. So now, I want you to realize all these things we're talking about. Playing matchmaker, sending along resources to people, offering to help, actually responding to people. Yeah, commenting on their posts and stuff. Yeah, do that, but just kind of like everybody's doing that. So do that, but understand it's not enough. But really putting in an effort and then speaking, of course, to upwards of about 10 people a week. Now, heaven forbid, we do a second lockdown. You're going to have a network that's way stronger. You're going to have that bank account where you've made the deposits. And now when you have people who have spoken with you, I just want you to think about this. Do you think that they would have a higher probability if it was a good conversation and you didn't pitch them and you genuinely gave a shit about them? Do you think they would have a higher probability of buying from you, referring you, giving you a warm intro, maybe providing you with some intel about a company they worked for that you're trying to target? You'd have a way better probability. So you could really build a much stronger referral engine, which right about now, we all wish we had a stronger referral engine, especially when things were really shitty a few weeks ago, to be able to fall back on these kind of warm leads, and these people can give you warm intros to fall back on a network where you've made the deposits. To me, it's priceless. So that's the first area where you should be making the deposits. The second one would be definitely your prospecting efforts. So, you know, the way that you can make the deposits with prospecting efforts, making sure that you're doing it regularly and consistently under normal circumstances. We kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast. We avoid things that make us uncomfortable. Prospecting is one of them. And when it comes to procrastination, there is a form of procrastination that I've talked about many times on this podcast. And I call it avoidance activities. This is the stuff that we do when we're avoiding having to do something else. You guys, if you've been listening to me a while, you know the crazy corny story that I always talk about. My wife always knows when I am avoiding housework or a project around the house or whatever, because she sees me out watering the lawn, right? And I mean manually watering the lawn. I don't mean moving the sprinkler or resetting the sprinkler system, which I don't have. But it's an amazing thing about watering the lawn by hand. I don't know if you guys knew this, but there is this thing that was invented called the sprinkler, and they even have these things now with modern technology. Who the F knew? You know, called sprinkler systems. So this is going to shock you, but it's really not necessary for me to be out there watering the lawn. But I'm usually doing it. Well, I mean, the other reason is I kind of enjoy doing it. I hate to say it because it's a mindless activity. But more often than not, it's my avoidance activity because I don't want to fix the shed doors, or I don't want to pull. We have these weeds in the backyard back by the shed, and I call them, you know, the Jurassic Park weeds because they're huge. It looks like something out of the prehistoric era. And it's just crazy. I pull these things out and it's like, you know, I'm waiting for, you know, like T-Rex to come out of there and take my head off. And But we have these avoidance activities, and I think we have them when it comes to avoiding prospecting, because here's the deal with your brain and your ego especially. Your ego protects you from things that are scary. It's that old fight or flight thing, and just protects you. And the way it protects you many times, sometimes by lying to you, so, you don't need to do that. But in this case, like kind of working with your brain and procrastination and avoidance activities, it helps you find shit that you can do that keeps you away from the phone. Well, yeah, I couldn't make my calls this week because I had that stuff going on in the plant and I had that stuff going on with my CSR. And, if you want anything done right, you got to do it yourself, right? You have all these things that keep us away, and some of them are justified. I had all this administrative stuff I had to do. I had to get that proposal and those TPS reports out. So I think it would be good for you to identify what your avoidance activities are so that you can interrupt that pattern. That would be a really good action item for you. But you right now, more than ever, you have to almost look at this, and forgive me for being the pessimist here, but what if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was going to be a second shutdown? And we had warning this time. We knew that, and I'm just making up a date here, folks, so don't panic. November 1st, 2020, we've got shutdown number two. Right now, would you just be going on like you had forever to get your shit together, or would you be upping the pace? So just assume that it's happening again. The worst thing that's going to happen right now is that I'm wrong, and that we've overprepared, and then you hate me because you actually sold more shit anyway, right? I mean, how horrible is that, that I've done that to you? But I would pick up that pace. I would be making more calls. I would be keeping up your appearances at just the very, very least. So again, seriously up those efforts. And also, do it across multiple channels, not just more phone calls. There should be more emails. If you have people who have returned to their office, you should be sending more snail mail, more bumping into them over on LinkedIn and social media, all those things that we typically talk about here, creative things. You know, the other thing that you want to do is re-examine your Keep in Touch campaign. How often are you reaching out to people? Because you really have two extremes there, don't you? You have one where you carpet bomb the shit out of people and annoy them, but you have the other one where you neglect them, which is just as bad as carpet bombing the shit out of them. So how do we keep up appearances so that people are aware of us? And even if they are not in a position to buy right now, that we get that top of mind status with them. So I want you to think about that. Now, let's go to another area where you need to be making deposits. How about your accounts, the accounts that you manage? Are you doing okay in that department where you're making the deposits? Now, one thing that you could do right now that would be, believe it or not, the equivalent of a mega deposit, almost as if going back to the financial part of it. You know when you get that really, really juicy commission check and you go to the bank? You don't just go to the bank when you have a juicy deposit, right? You kind of moonwalk to the bank. And you moonwalk to the bank and you slap that bad boy down and you deposit it or whatever. This next thing right now that I'm going to mention is the equivalent of that mega deposit. One of the things that you could be doing to make a mega deposit at your accounts is to go back in and do another needs analysis. So let me explain something. This is one of the biggest mistakes that sales reps make. And what happens is when you're courting a prospect, most of us were taught, and hopefully you guys do this, you're doing a thorough needs analysis, whether you call it a needs analysis or a discovery call, right? You're digging deep to learn, not just about pain, but about opportunity points too, because it's not just about the pain. So now what happens is they become your account. And sadly, that needs analysis you did before they became your account is the most thorough you'll ever be with them. Because after that, in many cases, it becomes more transactional. it becomes, and what I mean by that, I don't mean where you become an order taker. That's certainly one extreme that could happen. But what I really mean here is that your conversations are usually project-centered. Okay, Paul, we have this new project for you where you're going to train all our new sales reps that are going to be selling the ABC product line. So it's more project-centered after that, or based on a particular need or buying cycle or, you know, putting out a fire, whatever. And there's usually no deep dive needs analysis. Now, first of all, I think that puts you in a really vulnerable position, because for any of us to think that our accounts love us so much that they will never take a call from a competitor, never meet with a competitor to see, you know, if the grass is greener with them or whatever, just to kind of, and many of them, many buyers are graded also on whether or not they're keeping relationships open with other quote-unquote vendors. So they're supposed to be doing this to an extent. So what's where it makes you vulnerable is that you have this person that doesn't even know them, and you could have a 2 or 3 year relationship. They end up by doing, your competitor, a nice deep dive needs analysis. Meanwhile, you haven't done one since the account was a prospect 2-3 years ago. Who's going to have the most updated information? And that's not where you want to be. So that's one side of it, a competitive side. But if you want to really be able to serve your accounts at the highest level possible, you need to, this should be an action item that you get on. Like, if you're listening to this over the weekend, okay, you're exempt. But if it's Monday or Tuesday or Monday through Friday, you should seriously exit the podcast and start setting up. I call them checkups, by the way. Set up account checkups. Because what you have to realize, even if you have an account right now that's 6 months old, you still need to do a checkup right now. Why? Because a little something called COVID-19 came in and sucker punched everybody right in the face. And it changed everything up. So that information that you think is spot on and appropriate is probably antiquated by now. So you want to be able to serve them at the highest possible level. And this is a major deposit that you could be making into that account. And obviously the other thing that you could be doing, and forgive me if this is a duh type of moment, I'll put on my Captain Obvious cape, but you should be working on those relationships every which way you can. And very similar to my pet peeve with a lot of the people over on LinkedIn and their networks, where they only come out of hibernation and neglect when they need something. You don't want to be that salesperson that's only calling and giving a shit when they're desperate. So you should be all along keeping in touch. And that brings up a question that I want you to ponder. Don't answer it out loud. You look like a complete nut job if you're in the office. Working from home is cool like that. You could talk to yourself and shit. Nobody cares. You know, your dog will judge you, but my dog doesn't judge me, and I don't judge her. One of the things you should be doing right now, or pondering at least, is, you know, do you have a keep in touch campaign for your accounts? What does that look like? What are you doing there to do that? Summertime here in the U.S. And a lot of people, it's really everybody, just completely, you know, couldn't go and socialize at restaurants and pubs and bars and things like that. Now, I would imagine that everybody is in the same boat right now, because we went to, I think we call it phase 4, whatever it was, out here in New York probably about 3 weeks ago. And I realized at that point in time, you ready for this? Let me just think about this for a minute. It was back in June. So let me think, April, May, June. It was about 3 months. I thought it was almost 4, but it was at least 3 months. It was almost 4 months. I figured it out. That the last time I had been out to a restaurant or here in New York, a diner or anything like that, it had been back in March. It was almost 4 months at that point. And when they opened up, we gave them like about 2-3 weeks because we knew everybody was going to be just inundating those places. And they were going to be mobbed also, too, because under phase four, I think they can only operate at like 50% capacity or whatever, and the social distancing, so they can't have as many people there. And we thought there might be some bugs that had to be worked out. So we ended up, there's this just little local diner. And what I thought was really cool was the way they pivoted when phase four hit. And what they did to get around the decrease in capacity with the 50% rule is they set up a tent in the parking lot, like a big party tent. And they set up a few tables out there. So we went over there. We sat outside. It was a beautiful day. And we had dinner out there. And I was sitting there saying, holy shit, I miss this. I mean, here I am getting excited about a diner and eating outside was cool. But what does that have to do with your clients? You really should be leveraging that and take advantage of the fact that, just like me, they miss going out. And especially here it is the summer, unless it's just terrible heat, which we're going to be having here in New York on Monday, supposed to hit like 96 or whatever. We're not really used to that out here. But, you know, it's such a great time to go to an outdoor venue. So make those deposits into the relationship. Now, I want to just talk about something very, very quickly. Keith Ferrazzi, I think his name is, author of a really cool book that if you haven't checked it out, you really have to check it out. It's called Never Eat Alone. And he talked about something in that book. Actually, I'm trying to think if he talked about, because he did another one. Another book after that, and it's called something like Who's Got Your Back or something. And I think in the second book, actually, he mentions this tactic, and he calls it the long, slow dinner. The long, slow dinner. And the purpose of the long, slow dinner, which we're going to modify in a minute, is to really get to know your client over a long, slow dinner and just really have a chance. Because if you really think about it, we're all moving quickly. It's business moves at the speed of light. Most of the time, our discussions are centered around a project or whatever. But again, really get to know them. And he proposes having a dinner. Now, dinner, depending on how you feel about that, could maybe be a little creepy for some of you, and I get that. So maybe you could do a long, slow lunch, right? It doesn't seem like you're hitting on them when it's a lunch, right? I mean, dinner, you know, it could get a little creepy for some people. I do get that. But a long, slow lunch where you're getting to know them, that could be a tremendous deposit for you right now, because we need these relationships, and they need us too. They need to know us and be confident enough in us so that if the shit hits the fan again, they can say, help me. And they have the confidence in us to do that or to ask our advice. So I want you to think about that. So the next thing that I want you to think about, and then, you know, I'm going to snap this up a little bit, is I want you to think about knowledge deposits. In other words, where do you really need to get smarter right now? And this is a question you should be asking yourself on a monthly basis, at the end of every month or the beginning of the next month, however way you want to do this or word this is fine. But you need to ask yourself, okay, where do I need to get smarter? There's always a part of the business that we need to get better at. And this is why I have sometimes an issue with some of the people who have been in sales a long time. They feel they've got, it's all basic blocking and tackling and sales 101, and they know this and they know that, but they do none of the things that they love to tell you that they know. So hopefully that's not you. I'm hoping you're a humble student of sales. And if you are, you really need to look in the mirror, not the mirror that's going to make you look 7 sizes smaller and 10 years younger, the one that shows you, as they would say, warts and all. And you have to tell the ego to get the F out of the room and just assess your skills. And so the question really is, I mean, what's something that you're going to need to be smarter at should a second shutdown occur. Look back on your past performance when this thing went down. Was there something? I'll give you a great example. There were some of my newer clients that I didn't get a chance to work my magic and get them back prospecting that were relying too much on their accounts and repeat business. And then what happens when the pandemic hits? You had a lot of these companies just, some of them even went out of business, by the way. You had some of them just say, hey, man, there's a freeze on the buying. We don't, you know, we don't even know if we're going to have, you know, half our staff next month. So we've got to cut budgets and everything else. So there were some of my newer clients that for the first time in a few years had to relearn cold calling because they hadn't cold called in years. So I want you to look at your past performance. What's something when you look back that you really had, you really could have been, you wish you were smarter at, that you were better at, that you really should be improving upon now? So if this thing goes down again, you'll have already made deposits into getting smarter at it. Now, I have a free resource for you, by the way, and forgive me if this is something that you've heard me mention probably a million times on this podcast, but I have a free checklist where you can look at, we've listed probably 75, 80 of the qualities of sales rock stars. Look in the mirror and you'll see next to each quality, there's a little scale from 1 to 10 where you can rate yourself. 1 being, okay, I completely suck at this. And 10 is I have complete mastery in this area. So look at the areas that you really need to improve upon. And by the way, improvement is not just in the areas where you totally suck or you rated yourself a 3 or a 4 or even a 5. You can flag areas for improvement that you scored a 7, an 8, even a 9. You should be thinking about, well, how do I get to a 10? Or if you are awesome at something, well, how do you get to super duper awesome? Right? Because I think that's the next level up, isn't it? Super duper awesome? I don't know. I didn't go to the last meeting. So I want you to think about that. But the other thing that's a really cool tactic that I want to talk about quickly, it's a concept called hyperlearning. Hyperlearning. And if you ever want to learn about hyperlearning, Tim Ferriss, you know, the 4-day work week or whatever it was, author of that and several other books, he has an incredible podcast and blog. He really got behind a lot of that. With the concept of hyperlearning, what you're doing in many cases is that you're immersing yourself into the learning of a skill or perfecting an area that needs improvement, but you're doing it at a much more intense level. So you're not just casually, okay, once a week, I'm going to casually read a book, part of a book, or a few chapters or whatever. It's not like every single day. You're delving into it and really dissecting it and going, you know, cannonballing into that effing pool. And what's interesting, Tim Ferriss did a lot of stuff in this area. Like, for example, he taught himself archery in no period of time. He did stuff with martial arts, learning other languages. I think he taught himself to code very, very quickly. So there are ways that you can kind of hack the system to get better faster. So my advice would be, and one way, I'll talk about how you can immerse yourself into the hyperlearning thing when we explore this next one right now. So in fact, let's kind of go there. This next one, this next form of deposit is really joined at the hip with that the knowledge deposit that I mentioned. So what you also want to do is do marginal gains deposits. Marginal gains deposits. So there is this concept called the aggregation of marginal gains. The aggregation of marginal gains. And what you're doing here, instead of trying to get better by tomorrow, you're just focusing on little 1% improvements. So in other words, let's just say that you have flagged a certain area, right, based on what you wish you had done better when there was the whole shutdown a few months ago. So let's just say that one of your areas for improvement is you really needed to have been better at prospecting. So maybe day one, what you do with this marginal gains theory and tying in with the hyperlearning in a way, is day one, you Google prospecting tips, maybe Google cold calling tips, kind of play around with the phrases and words and the order that you have them in, and find one resource that's out there. You're going to find something like about, I don't know, like 16 million results or something are going to come back for that one. All you have to do is find something that resonates with you and then get your action verbs going and try one idea that day. One idea, that's going to be your 1%. Or what you could do is, or not even or, it could be and the next day. Maybe what you do the next day is you tape yourself when you're prospecting. So you have the benefit of game tape. You go back and you listen to yourself and say, okay, where is there a 1% improvement here? Maybe how I was saying something. Maybe what I was saying. Maybe my ums and basically's and all those things were out of hand. So that could be a little 1% improvement. Maybe the next day you have a coworker who kicks ass on the phone. If you're in a position to listen in on some of their calls and or call them up, pick their brain, get some advice, you guys get what I'm talking about. But at the same time, while we're doing this aggregation of marginal gains, these little tiny 1% improvements, we are also immersing ourselves in the area that we want to get better by learning. Okay, let me absorb everything I can on prospecting. Let me go on to Castain's blog and see what he's talked about when it comes to prospecting. Let me go and see if there's any prospecting podcasts that are out there. Let me go over on Amazon and see what prospecting books. Let me ask my network, hey, who are some people that are really good at prospecting? Let me go to my sales team and model the behaviors of those who kick ass on the phone. And we can go on and on and on. But this is how you do it. So my advice there is that you make these deposits in marginal gains, because what if, again, even, and this isn't the date, folks, I'm just, we're being hypothetical here. If we know that, okay, November 1st is when it goes down, man, we're going to have another shutdown. Holy shit, it's going to shut down again on November 1st. Well, just on the things we talked about here, and there's so much more we could have, but we're already at almost 42 minutes in, so we got to cut it at some point. Plus, I it's Sunday, man. I want to get out in the yard and have a bourbon, for God's sakes. But anyway, I need it after this shit. I'm getting all depressed now. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be a sad effing drunk. But seriously, if we know that, say, November is D-Day for another closing or shutdown, well, if we've worked this LinkedIn deposit idea that I talked about, and you're speaking with 10 people a week between now and November, that's a lot of people now who are going to be more solid for you in a network. You're going to have built a much stronger network. Also, if you take my advice on making the deposits with your prospecting efforts, well, that's going to help you go into it a lot stronger too, because you're going to have a lot more people who know who the hell you are and that you've built relationships with them. Also, if you take the deposits into your accounts and you're doing the needs analysis that we talked about, you're working on the relationship, you're doing that long, slow dinner/lunch approach, you're offering to help, not just when you need a commission check, where you're just establishing that now when you kind of don't need to, where it's not, okay, now we're all desperate because the world's shutting down again. Hey, how about an order? And P.S., now I care about you. We don't want to do that. But also, you're making the knowledge deposits and you're getting smarter. You're assessing yourself constantly based on, okay, I wished I had been smarter in these areas. And going forward, if it happens again, I'm going to need to be smarter in the following areas. There's just no way around it. Work on it now. Don't wait to round two of this to say, okay, now I'm going to get smarter. Use that time now to your advantage. And then finally, this concept of the aggregation of marginal gains, where we're going to focus every single day on getting 1% better at something. Now, you're not going to just randomly every single day, okay, there's my 1%. No, there really should be a rhyme and reason to it. Flag the areas based on that checklist that I had mentioned to you. Again, if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist, download it, look in the mirror. You should be doing this at the end of every month, because change is happening at a much quicker pace right now. Certainly, if you look at it, the amount of change we've had just this year alone compared to the same amount of time that elapsed this point last year, I mean, it's just a quantum leap of a difference in how quickly things are going down. So you want to be able to evolve with it. You never should be in a position where you're relying on things that you did months and years ago. You don't want to be that old dog either, by the way. Old dog is not an age thing. I have often said to people that I've actually met 18 and 19-year-old old dogs, and I've certainly have met 70 and 80-year-old old dogs. It's a mindset in that you can't be taught a new trick. If ever there was a time for you to really embrace the concept of being a humble student of sales, it's right now. Also, humble student of life, humble student of business. We really have to up our game so that if, remember I'm saying if, there is another shutdown, we have the gift of some time, or even if we don't have a lot of time, we have the gift of more preparation than we did last time. Last time, we were sucker punched. We were blindsided by this. Let's avoid making that same mistake again. So that's what I have for you this week. Before you go, I just want to let you know, we're actually going to be taking a much deeper dive into this, where I'm going to give you not only some specifics that I think you should be working on, but we're actually going to come up with an action plan for you to kind of turn things around. But we're going to be talking about this during our How to Jumpstart Your Sales During Challenging Times. It's going to be a webinar that's going to take place on July 29th. At 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be a 90-minute webinar, because there's a lot of stuff for us to go over. And as always, if you can't join us live, you're screwed and you're going to miss out. Now, I'm kidding. You actually can just sign up anyway. I'll send you the webinar replay and all the goodies that I end up sending out with these things. But here's what we're going to talk about. The first thing right out of the gate is going to be how to create an immediate plan to get your year back on track, because I am guessing that you're off right now with your results that you should have for the year. We're going to talk about how to turn it around, but it's not going to be a lot of philosophical nonsense. It's going to be action plan. So the very first thing we're going to be doing is, well, let's create an immediate action plan. Next, we're going to talk about two ways to quickly adapt to the rapid changes you've been facing in your business. We're going to talk about five revenue generating strategies for challenging times. Last but not least, we're going to be talking about 10 things you absolutely must do in the second half of 2020 to get your year back on target. But there's going to be something very different that we're going to be doing in this webinar that I've only done one other time, and it was in a course that I offered. And I'm going to be assigning everyone who enrolls in this webinar an accountability partner. And that accountability partner is going to be someone else going through the webinar. And it's going to be interesting for you, because accountability partners are important, especially when you're looking to get your year back on track. And you guys, of course, are going to hold each other accountable, and you're going to base it on the action items that we're going to talk about in the webinar. So you're going to be setting up these calls every week, every other week, whatever way you guys want to set it up. And you're going to simply check in with each other and say, okay, hey, look, last week when we spoke, you said you're going to do A, B, and C. How did that go? If you know you have to face someone other than your boss, by the way, if you know that you have to face someone, and it's almost like having a spotter at the gym. You're going to put in more effort. But also, when you know you have to face someone, it's a little harder to slack. So you're going to keep each other on track, and it'll work out very, very well. So if you're interested in learning more about this, and I'm hoping you do, please please don't procrastinate, because what happens with a lot of these things is either I hit capacity. This year it's been crazy for me because obviously I can't go to businesses and train them. So my whole online arm of the business has gone just completely crazy. And when I offer extra things like this, like personalized feedback or accountability partners and things like that, I'm limited in how many of that or how much of that I can do. Just bandwidth wise, there's only so much I can do. The other thing too is that I always feel bad because a lot of people put things off. Yeah, I'll deal with that later. You know, this isn't happening until the 29th. And then people miss out, or they're contacting me after that and I can't get them in the program, or, you know, I can get them in the program, but I can't give you an accountability partner after the damn thing has happened, because, you know, we don't really have a lot of people going into the program. Now I got to wait for somebody else to come in the program to give you your damn accountability partner. So please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/hellyes, yoursalesplaybook.com/hellyes. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our blog by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.